Shannon O'Kelly.
All right, welcome to a special edition of Health Matters. Moria Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly. It's our DUI awareness show.
Fifth annual
DUI show.
First time you've been sober at one, isn't it?
Nope.
Come on.
Officially. Last year, nobody knew. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
No,
yeah.
I think last year I wasn't drinking too. Welcome. We have a huge table of guests sitting in with us is, of course, Carrie Hartwell Luchuk. She was with us last year. She is, you can pick up that microphone and chat. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
She's going to hang out with us throughout the show. Mark Brinkman is with us.
I am with us, yeah.
Okay, Mark, so give us your official title.
So I prefer to be called General Brinkman, but I'm not a general.
Okay.
But no, I'm sober.
General
I'm sober
life,
every
right?
five
general for life.
So far, yeah. No, I'm an officer with Limited Police Department. I'm a drug recognition expert. So we're trained in getting impaired drivers that are impaired by things other than alcohol. So someone maybe smoke marijuana or some meth or heroin. What do you do with them? There's a process we go through to test them and see if they're impaired or not, and then arrest them and prosecute them for DUI. And I'm an instructor in that. I've been doing law enforcement for about 30 years now. So that's who I am.
Okay. And then Tracy McMillan is with us again. She is a volunteer right now, right?
Yes, I'm a volunteer with the Snohomish County DUI and Target Zero Task Force. After 20 years, I resigned to take another position, but I am happy to be here. I wouldn't miss it. Fifth year.
You helped put this whole deal together for us, and we appreciate
Thank you
doing that. And we have other guests we will get to as we proceed, Shannon. But one of the things about our DUI show is we have people that come in here, and they start drinking and take breathalyzers, and you know, basically what we're doing is we're explaining to people how many drinks you have and whether you can drive a car, because that's still happening, isn't it? People are drinking and driving.
That is happening. It's not on the decrease, really. It's kind of staying level for the most part, really. And so what we've done, we have Brenda and we have Mike, and I've been their bartender tonight. Neither one has tipped me at all, so I don't know if that's a sign of I should keep my day career or whatever. So we've been dosing them. It's kind of a clinical process where we start off knowing they've not been drinking any alcohol, and then I give them double shots or single shots, and we check their breathalyzer after a certain period of time to see where they're at. And so far, it's kind of an eye-opener for most folks, really, how much you have to drink to become impaired.
Now, we started this process at 3:30, right?
Correct.
And Brenda, your average height woman, right?
Correct.
And she's had, how much has she had so far?
So she started her first drink, which is a double, at 3:40, and she drank until we checked her breath at about 5 minutes to 4:55, and she was a .083, and that was after five shots. And that was probably a little bit higher than she would be by the time we waited another half hour or so, because she'd kind of just finished a drink. But she'd be about a .070 after we waited a little bit. And so she's pretty much kind of bordering on that legal 080 right there. Now, Mike, on the other hand, who is a much larger male, much larger than Brenda, by all means, he had six shots. And even after, after four shots, he was a .032. After six shots, he was a .044. So the body mass, definitely, and being male, you can usually drink more alcohol and not feel the impairment or not be as high as BAC.
So he could go to a bar and have six shots and then get in the car and drive home, and it's no big deal. How do you feel right now?
Well, Maury, that's the interesting thing. Brett and I were kind of talking about that. While my BAL, at least when I took the breathalyzer that Mark gave me, wasn't quite to that .08 limit, I definitely didn't feel like I'd be comfortable getting behind the wheel of a car if I had my choice. Now, I told Mark I think I could do it, but you know, when I've been in that situation before, if someone else who's maybe had less than me wanted to take the keys, I would let him.
And that's kind of the message you want to send there, Maury, is that you know, after four shots, Brenda was a .058, and she said, no, I don't think I'm going to drive. After you know six shots, Mike's a .044, but he answered that. He goes, I could drive, I think. And you made an interesting comment, Maury. You said that he could go to a bar and have six shots and be no big deal. But the message we want to get across is that .08 is the legal limit. If you are .08 or higher, you're presumed guilty of DUI and your license will be suspended and you can be found guilty in a court of law pretty much automatically. But you can be under .08 and still be charged and found guilty of DUI. And many people are, because we're not really looking – we really don't care what level they're at. So if I pull someone over and their officer does, we get them out and do the field sobriety test. They're voluntary tests, but most people do them. They want to prove they're not drunk. And so they do the tests, and we see impairment. We arrest them. We really don't care what their breathalyzer shows, because if their tests show they're impaired, then they're arrested and charged by being impaired by the alcohol.
And I think that's a really important point you're making right there, Mark, is, you know, the idea is it's not just the BAC, it's how you're operating the vehicle. And that's your judgment as an officer then. So you're looking for things when you're out on the DUI task force, you're looking for impairment in the way they're operating their vehicle or acting. What are the things that you look for?
Right. So we might stop a person. You know, most DUIs aren't like most people would presume they are in television all over the road and on the sidewalk and hitting, you know, kids and whatnot. That happens, but that's pretty rare. We might stop someone for just running a stop sign or having a taillight out.
It's always the taillight.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, that's my biggest problem is my taillight is always out in my car, and I don't know how to fix my taillight. So that's why I don't drink.
So we might stop them for an equipment violation such as Maury's taillight, and then smell some alcohol in their breath and get them out and do the test. And if they're – we do the walk and turn test, walk 9 steps, heel to toe, and turn, walk 9 steps, heel to toe. One leg stand test. We check their eyes, called horizontal gaze nystagmus. And out of that, we might offer them a portable breath test. But ultimately, if those tests show they're impaired, or the officer's opinion is they're too impaired to drive, they're arrested for DUI, and then the prosecutor takes over from that point.
If you get somebody out of the car and they're doing the walk, is there a 90% chance they're going to be arrested? I mean, does anybody get out of the car that you pull over and walk up and down like it's no big deal and go, yeah, you look fantastic, you can get in the car and go back home? Does that ever happen?
It does happen, yeah.
Really?
I would say more often not than yes, but it does happen. We really wait till we're done with all the tests we're going to do and then form an opinion should that person drive or not. I mean, so we don't take it lightly. I mean, getting a DUI is a big thing. I mean,
absolutely.
It screws a person's life up for a long
time.
Right. But, I know a lot of people, too, I mean, they think they can prepare for the test.
Right.
I mean, you know, how do I beat a sobriety test or a field sobriety test or the BAC? And I want to basically make sure people understand officers like yourself are trained. I mean, you go through training to pick up this and pick up signs and symptoms. And you can't study for this test.
Right.
I mean, this is serious.
There's a lot of training involved. Now, the more tolerant a person is to alcohol, the more they can, better they could probably do like a walk and turn or a one leg stand test. But the horizontal gaze nystagmus test is not a test you can control. You know, you can't study for it or get better at it. Either your eyes show you've had too much to drink or they don't, so they can't.
I would think that would be so much pressure on somebody that they would fail the test, right?
I think it'd probably be pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I mean, but the fact is what Mark's talking about is a neurological finding. When you have enough alcohol in your system, your eyes basically, as you're doing that test, they don't track or they bounce side to side, and you can't prevent that from happening. Alcohol in your system is going to cause that.
Right.
What level is, have they tested that, done research where that starts, at what level? Like Brenda or Mike, would you be able to get a positive
nystagmus test? Yeah, if I check Brenda, why don't you look at me real quick, Brenda's eyes. So I'm going to move my finger side to side. If you're looking in the room, you can see her eyes right now are jerking as it goes.
I think Brenda has the horizontal smirk test right now.
Permagrin.
Yeah.
Permagrin.
Totally.
That's a giveaway, huh?
Yeah. A drunk person starting to laugh during a test is kind of like someone on marijuana saying, dude, you know they're guilty, okay?
Yeah.
Arrest them right there.
But Mike doesn't have that. Can you?
Well, let's check Mike right here.
Okay.
So I'm going to move my finger side to side. And Mike's eyes are they're jerking a bit as I go side to side. Now, if I hold it all the way out here as far as it'll go, is it still jerking? Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So what happens at about a 0.06, 0.05 level, the eyes will start to lose that ability to track smoothly. Really what it is, it's the fine motor skill muscles that control your optic nervous system relaxing, just like any other fine motor skill muscle. So they relax, and your eyes can't follow an object smoothly. And the most relaxed position for that muscle to be in is when your eyes are looking straight ahead. So the more intoxicated a person is, the more relaxed their muscles are that control their optic nervous system. So the more their eyes just want to look straight ahead and keep going back to center.
And what you're talking about is relaxation, probably because alcohol is a depressant.
Correct.
And it relaxes the nervous system, and all the more reason why you have impaired judgment and your coordination is impaired and driving is very dangerous because you shouldn't be operating a big machine when your neurological functions are impaired because alcohol. Exactly. That's what it's all about.
Or other depressants.
The
we'll
end.
Talk
about. Show
yeah, the show's
good job.
But I mean, guilty. I think the thing, what I enjoy about this show really is we have so many people here that work in different areas of the DUI. And not only in the state of Washington now, we're talking DUI alcohol, but we're also talking about marijuana because it's now legal and there's ways that you can be impaired on marijuana. And it's a serious thing. And we're going to talk to some folks here that have experienced kind of how serious it is and how devastating it is for families and people involved. And we have some victims and we have zero tolerance. And you mentioned that it's plateaued a little bit, which is good. It's not increasing, but we still need education because I bet you as a police officer, you have probably picked up probably someone who's maybe multiple offenders.
Right. Yeah. So the multiple offender does happen a lot, actually. It's pretty common. Now, Washington State, if you have more than five DUIs in 10 years, it's a felony offense. Now there's some new laws that have come into play. If you get arrested for DUI and you've had one DUI at all in the last 10 years, you're automatically booked in jail and you have to stay in jail without bail until you see a judge, which is and then when they're released, there's things they have to have, like an interlock in their car and things like that. So there's been some laws put into place to really kind of protect the average, you know, driving public. But the we'll talk a little bit more as the show goes on. DUI is not just alcohol. It's not just marijuana. It's really any drug that causes impairment. It could be prescription drugs that are illegal for you to have, but if you're impaired while you take them, it can be DUI. It could be illicit drugs of all sorts. Meth, heroin is huge in Snohomish County. So there's a lot of stats that tie into that. We'll talk about those as we go.
I didn't know you could get a DUI from meth because I didn't think they can afford cars.
Well, they steal them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, steal cars. What was I thinking? How stupid of me. Yeah. How is marijuana? We talked about that. Marijuana is legal now. How is that? How do you when you pull somebody over, how do you know they're high? Well, besides the Taco Bell
bags. Volkswagen van, I think.
Yeah, I know.
It could be. I mean, they got their skateboards. They got their big Doritos. What did you stop me for, dude?
Dude,
three times guilty.
We talked about when you said that when we met, you know, off air. When you pull over somebody that's been drinking, they'll say to you, I shouldn't have been driving. But when you pull somebody over that's high from marijuana, they say that they think they can drive. They thought they'd be okay, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I wouldn't say a high percentage of people that are impaired by alcohol say I shouldn't have been driving. But if someone's going to say, I know I shouldn't have been driving, someone's impaired by alcohol. People that are impaired by marijuana tend to think they are okay to drive and in fact, maybe drive better when they're impaired by marijuana because it's a
– concentrating a little bit more.
Yeah, well, they're just impaired, so they think they can drive.
Yeah.
They're not concentrating on too much other than their
concentrating, but going 2 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Right?
Is or that the deal? Whatever they might be doing. But
yeah,
so someone's driving and they're impaired by marijuana. Other things, we'll do tests. We'll look at their marijuana will tend to dilate pupils, so, you know, large pupils. They'll tend to have a lot of times some of the tests. It's more of a psychological impairment, really, than a fine motor skill impairment. So, like in the walk and turn test, they might walk heel to toe and touch heel to toe, but they're supposed to take 9 steps and they take 13 steps and stop and go, I forgot, dude, what's next? And
dude, what's the big deal? I took 13 instead of 9. Come on.
Yeah,
I could only imagine.
So marijuana is more of a concentration problem where alcohol is more of a coordination problem. I mean, you're not going to see marijuana people swerving on the road and crossing the center line. They're just going to be going slow or, I mean, missing a stoplight or what do you notice with them?
There's times people are impaired by marijuana driving and they're driving poorly. They might cross the center, but usually it is more of a psychological impairment. Forgot to use my signal 3 different times I turned or I forgot at a 4-way stop whose turn it was to go. Those kind of things. It's psychological.
And with it being legal now in the state of Washington, has the training for the police officers adjusted to that? I mean, are you being trained now of what to look for, just like you mentioned, the judgment situation versus coordination?
That really goes back to the drug recognition school that you have to attend. And arresting people that are impaired by marijuana, it hasn't really changed. Even though it's legal, there's more of it, obviously. You really see a big increase in it. Anytime you legalize a drug, there's going to be a huge increase of it, which there is. So, but still, an officer stopping someone that's impaired by a drug, in this case marijuana, that's not changed. Hey, this guy's high in something, did some tests, he doesn't look good, I'm going to arrest him. But now detecting that through the drug recognition thing, is that's helped a lot. Now we can say, okay, we've done these tests, we're seeing things that are particular to marijuana or a drug. We take him in, and we do about a 40-minute evaluation on someone when they're impaired by a drug. We check their pulse rates 3 different times. We check their blood pressure, their pupil sizes, their pupil reaction, different light settings. It's pretty pretty clinical. And by the end of that, as a drug recognition expert, I can say you're impaired by one of seven different categories of drugs. Cannabis has its own category. And based on that, you have to give blood. We're going to get a warrant for your blood, or you can give voluntary blood where I work and go that route. But either way, we're going to get your blood. If you refuse it, we're going to get a warrant, get your blood, and then prosecute for DUI.
I can only imagine the paranoia. You know what I mean? If they're just kind of sitting there waiting.
Absolutely.
And they're high.
But that's the only way to detect marijuana, right, or the BAC with marijuana is you have to draw blood now.
Well, there never was a, you know, breath test wouldn't show marijuana.
Right, exactly.
But you can just smell it on their breath probably too, right?
Well, it's about their clothing, really. It's the smoke of it. It's just pretty.
But they have like the edibles and stuff that they take. I read that Washington State University has come up with a new test.
Trying to.
But that's kind of funny that it's Washington State University.
How about those kooks? How about those kooks, huh? Listen, so here's the deal, though. I mean, really, I mean, what is the baseline then? I mean, you can get a warrant for someone's blood and take it. What are you measuring there? I mean, what's the units of measurement?
So the presumptive level, like alcohol is 0.08, right? Presumed guilty of DUI if you're 0.08 or higher. For marijuana, it's 5 nanograms. So if you have 5 nanograms or more in your blood, 21 or over, then you're presumed guilty of DUI, your license gets suspended. But again, for prosecution of DUI, we're just looking for impairment. So maybe it comes back 2 nanograms, but the tests we did on the roadside, the drug recognition expert process we did in the station with them, their pulse rates and all that, show the impairment, they're going to be charged with DUI regardless of what their level is.
Let's do this. I have more questions about marijuana and DUIs, and we'll bring in Adam Cornelis here from the deputy prosecuting attorney. I'm not drinking, by the way. Sohomish County Prosecutor's Office. We're going to bring him in when we come back from a break. It's Health Matters. It's our DUI show. It's right here on Fox Sports 1380.
For money-saving coupons on the web or on your smartphone? Who isn't? We've made it easy. Hometown Values Coupon Magazine offers great deals and discounts at local businesses. From restaurants to auto service, hair care, or home improvement, we've got you covered. Visit myhometownvalues.com to print coupons, or you can download the free iPhone or Android app. Just search Hometown Values in the App Store. Putting valuable coupons at your fingertips saves you money and supports local business. Hometown Values. It's like getting paid to read.
High school basketball season continues on Wednesday night with a first girls game of the year. The Sandwich Spartans travel to meet the Jackson Timberwolves here on Fox Sports 1380. Western Conference basketball is sponsored in part by Everett Community College, the Lake Stevens Ace Hardware Store, Skagit Bank, Glass by Lund, Screen Printing Northwest, Frontier Communications, IRG Physical and Hand Therapy, and Papa Murphy's Pizza. Girls basketball, Jackson hosts Stanwood. 7 p.m. pregame, 7:15 tip-off, Wednesday on Fox Sports 1380.
And more the movie guy here. I've said this a million times. 4 weeks is a long time to wait for a movie you want to see right away. But at Silver Lake Video, you don't have to do that. They get movies right when you want to see them. Like if you want to see the movie RoboCop, you're going to have to wait to see it at Netflix. You'd see it right now at Silver Lake Video. They also have Ride Along, which Netflix also doesn't have. See the newest titles the day they're released every time. Silver Lake Video is your independently owned video store. See them online at silverlakevideo.net.
Unlock the fun this December at the world's friendliest casino and hotel, Angel of the Winds. All month long, Angel of the Winds will be giving guests a chance to unlock a fun night stay in their brand new hotel. $50 in free play and breakfast for two. Guests will also have a chance to win hundreds of other great prizes from mittens to 5,000 Totem Club points. To play, just have your Totem Club card in a machine or activated by the table games department. And then listen for your name to be called, and they'll be calling a bunch of names with drawings every 30 minutes. Between 9 a.m. and midnight. Stop by the Totem Club for details. Unlock the fun and perhaps a luxurious night stay at Angel of the Winds during the Unlock the Fun promotion going on now through December 30th. Angel of the Winds Casino and Hotel, the world's friendliest, where you'll find over 1,000 slots, amazing daily buffets in the Watershed Restaurant, and a luxurious new hotel where you can book your room online now. Angel of the Winds Casino, I-5 exit 210 in just 3 minutes east.
During and after pregnancy can be one of the most exciting times in a woman's life, but no new mom wants to suffer through chronic back or pelvic pain. If you're suffering with pain, Team up with Integrated Rehabilitation Group and women's physical therapist, Christina Lee. Christina has over 10 years' experience in clinical evaluation and treatment of women's health issues. Enjoy a pain-free life as a new mom. Learn more today. Visit IRGPT.com.
The holidays can be a difficult time, especially if you've recently lost a loved one. Balancing the joy and merriment of Christmas time and the new year with that lingering feeling of loss. Maybe this is the first holiday season without grandpa or a sibling sitting down for dinner. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery can help you strike that balance between joy and loss. Please come and visit our free holiday festival open house on Saturday, December 13th from noon to 3. Be sure to bring a photo of your loved one and we'll make a commemorative ornament. We'll decorate Evergreen's memorial Christmas tree, enjoy snacks and hot beverages, plus great holiday music provided by the Common Ground Men's Quartet. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery is located at 4504 Broadway. We'll also have a drop box for toys, hats, and gloves, and teenage gift donations to Christmas House. Celebrate the lives of our friends and family that have gone before us. It's the Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery Free Holiday Festival Open House on Saturday, December 13th from noon to 3. 4504 Broadway in Everett.
A message from Dr. Ron Kruger and Michael Teo, board certified in both otolaryngology and sleep medicine.
Are you fed up with your CPAP machine? I know from treating patients for over 20 years that sleep problems impact your life, but innovative in-office treatment alternatives offer new hope with rapid recovery and minimal discomfort. Don't let sleep problems continue to interfere with your life and function. Call for a consultation, 425-341-4305, or check us out online at drkruger.com.
Everett Silver Tips Traffic.
26 minutes after 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. Tom Lafferty taking a look at traffic. Northbound I-5 just north of downtown Marysville, right at 528 4th Street. Collision block in the right-hand lane. Fire units, state patrol on the scene. Starting to cause a backup across the flat. So that's northbound I-5 in Marysville. Northbound I-5 here in Everett looking pretty good. No blocking problems there. Lots of brake lights right now on the Hewitt Avenue trestle, but all seems to be still moving pretty smoothly. Northbound I-5 homebound from Seattle. You're going to be slow on the main line and the express lanes up through to Northgate, and then it's just kind of sluggish up past Motlake Terrace and Linwood. Northbound 405 really looking pretty good as you're coming up through Canyon Park. Now on the I-5 northbound as well, just a little sluggish approaching 41st. If you need help with your labor and industry claims, call the law office of Dale Wagner at 360-629-5276 and they will give you the help you need. See us at DaleWagnerLaw.com. Cloudy, showers, breezy tonight. Lows down near 50 degrees. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with rain at times and highs near 55 degrees. Right now in downtown Everett, it's 50 degrees at Fox Sports 1380. And we continue with the DUI Awareness Show here on Fox Sports 1380 Health Matters.
All right. We are back. Welcome back to Health Matters. It's our DUI slash Christmas party. Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly, and a cast of thousands. You know, it's like you said off the air, this is a serious thing. What we're here to do, to talk about is, well, basically, we don't want people drinking and driving like they've been doing in the past. And if having people drink here and blow DUI, you know, the breathalyzer to kind of show how they're doing and to keep them out of the cars and give you information on drinking and driving and how much it's going to cost you and finding you a ride home, then that's what we're here to do. Right?
That's exactly right, Warren. And you know what? In today's world, there is no excuse to drink and drive.
You know, it totally blows me away with all the information on DUIs and everything we've been through year after year after year. It's kind of like, well, I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. But yeah, it kind of blows me away that anybody would get a DUI. That's why I think the law should be tougher on people, because they're idiots. So, you know, if somebody's going to get a DUI nowadays, they're morons. And with that, joining us from the Snohomish County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, it's Deputy Prosecuting Attorney Adam Cornell is with us. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, Maury. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we talked about this. How is business for you?
Well, you know, unfortunately, business is good.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we would rather not have to prosecute people for what my office considers to be one of the most serious crimes in our community. You know, if we were put out of business, the community would be a hell of a lot safer. But as you just said, people keep driving drunk, people keep driving high, and as long as they continue to do that, my office is going to prosecute those people to the degree that is necessary to keep people from doing it again.
And in your office, you probably have a lot of statistics. I mean, what have you seen statistic-wise with the number of drunk drivers? And we're talking about marijuana now and impaired drivers from marijuana. Is it plateauing, going up? Are you still prosecuting more or less?
Well, I can tell you this. Year to date, we have handled more than 2,000 referrals for DUI, and that's primarily from the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office and the Washington State Patrol. That doesn't account for all the other jurisdictions like Officer Brinkman's city, Linwood, Montlake Terrace, Edmonds. So, you know, we get a ton of referrals for DUIs, and those are priority cases for our office. You know, it's a lot of people. If it's 2,000, if it's 2,000 plus referrals just in my office, it's going to be a hell of a lot more for all the other outlying jurisdictions.
I wonder if the state of Washington, do you have those numbers, Mark, across the state? How many DUIs are referred or prosecuted in the state, just not in Snohomish County?
DUI drivers across the state. I'd have to take a minute to find that. I can tell you this, though. As a whole, the crime of DUI driving kills and injures more people than all other crimes combined. So you take every crime and put it in a pot, and DUI alone kills more people and injures more people by itself than all those crimes combined. So last year in Snohomish County, in Washington State, we had about 410 fatality crashes, and half of those, 209 of them, were due to impaired driving by drugs.
I'm just kind of curious about the demographic. I mean, what are you guys seeing when you pull her? Is it all across the board?
This is a crime that does not respect any kind of socioeconomic status. You could be the upper middle class person with an impeccable record in the community and drive drunk and get caught and get prosecuted and get convicted. Or you could be the kind of, you know, the low level meth addict who gets stopped and prosecuted for driving while impaired. So it doesn't respect socioeconomic boundaries. Unfortunately, no one is safe.
And on the prosecution side, you talked about 2,000 referrals. Maybe walk us through, I mean, Mark was talking about first-time offenders, second-time offenders, third time. Maybe walk us through the first-time offender, you see him a second time, third time, and just the cost, not just monetary, but time and investment, et cetera. I mean, it's a huge ticket.
And, I'm sorry to interrupt you, go over, you know, you see commercials for, hey, if you pulled over where I'm gonna help you get it, you know, talk about those guys.
Well, I think what your listeners really need to hear, and to the extent that this is a deterrent, if you wanna blow 10, 15, 20 grand on court fines, court costs, attorney's fees, go out and drive drunk. Because you think about that, and you think about the cost of a cab or a cost of an Uber, you may be out 40 or 50 bucks depending on where you are. That's really what I think your listeners need to hear. I mean, the penalties, the state legislature has established increased penalties for each additional DUI that you get. You get a first-time DUI, you're going to spend a day in jail, and it's only going to go up from there. You get third DUI, you're looking at a mandatory minimum of 9 days. You get even one DUI, a judge can throw you in jail for a year. It's up to a year in jail. So you're not only looking at a ton of cash, but you're looking at losing your license. How's that going to affect your job? And then you're looking at possibly going in the hoosegow for up to a year. And there are some judges in this county that are going to give you some serious time, even above a mandatory minimum.
And you're talking about monetary affecting your job. I mean, having to appear in court. And then also insurance. On top of that, insurance is going to go up. You're just your car insurance, and you have to be insured to drive in this state, and that increases threefold.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what the SR-22 insurance required costs are now, but yeah, I mean, it's going to drastically affect your life. I mean, dramatically on so many different levels. It's going to affect your employment prospects if you're a young person and you're out there and you think you can. You can beat it, and you get caught, and you get convicted. You know, what's that going to do for your future looking forward?
Does it come up on a background check? in employment?
Absolutely. I mean, if anybody's going to do a background check on you, that's going to come up just like it would an assault or a felon, any some kind of a felony
case. And that's just a DUI. That's not even an accident when you're driving drunk, right?
They're collisions.
They're
not
collisions.
Accidents.
I'm sorry. You know what? I have that on my paper to say that too. Don't call them accidents. And what do? Yeah, they're collisions.
It's a vicious cycle, like Adam was saying. Because you get suspended because you have a DUI, right? But you still have to work. So you go drive to work. You get caught while driver suspended. You get a driving while suspended charge. You get suspended longer. Now you can't get insurance at all. And your whole life, it's a really vicious cycle to fall into. But you asked earlier about there's 99, almost 100,000 crashes or collisions, we'll call them, in Washington State last year. And out of those 6,000 of them, just about 6,000 were caused by impaired drivers. And out of the injury collisions, there was about 32,000 injury collisions, and 5,000 of those were caused by DUI drivers. So, again, it just shows how much society's paying for the collisions involving DUI impaired drivers.
And good point. I mean, it's not just the people that are directly involved. It's secondary effects. I mean, our insurance costs go up because of those collisions and those drivers probably. And, I mean, it does affect society, and it affects society in a number of different ways. And, Mark, you're a police officer. I mean, you've seen it. You've seen the worst. I mean, you've been on those accident scenes where it's not pretty. I mean, how does that affect you as an officer?
I guess after doing so many years, some will get used to it. But, you know, when you see kids or you have to go to someone's house and tell them their child has died from a DUI driver, I mean, it affects you. It stays on you. There's been times that, you know, there's some visions that still stick with me of seeing dead bodies from DUI drivers. But that's kind of we brought up marijuana a little bit. Some stats about marijuana. Since marijuana has been legalized, there's been three times more people have come back with testing positive for THC in their blood and injury accidents since we legalized marijuana. As far as the nationally, fatalities have gone up by 15% due to impairment by marijuana. At the rate that fatalities are being caused by marijuana in the states that have legalized marijuana, the prediction is that by 2020, the impairment by marijuana causing fatality accidents will outgo ones caused by alcohol. So it's a huge increase in people using marijuana, thinking they're okay to drive while impaired by marijuana.
Adam, have you seen that also in your office?
I don't have the statistics on compared to years previously, but I do want to make a point in something that Officer Brinkman brought up, which is, you know, we're talking about DUIs. We're talking about marijuana DUIs. We're talking about alcohol DUIs. But if you cause a crash and you hurt somebody or, God forbid, you kill somebody, with sufficient evidence, you are now looking at going to prison for vehicular homicide or vehicular assault. And we're not talking about up to a year in jail. We're talking about you going to a state prison for a long time. And there are lives at stake. You think you go out and you're the only person affected when you drive drunk. God forbid you hurt somebody or you kill somebody. Your life is going to be a whole lot different. And that's just not a risk that we want anyone to take.
Right. The point you make here is that is a decision that can be prevented. These are preventable collisions and preventable situations where you make one mistake after a fun night of a holiday party, for example, because it is that time of year, and your life is changed forever along with a number of different people. So I just don't understand why. I'm just trying to think here. We know so much about it. You're talking about this is a situation that kills more people than any other accident or any situation out there, and you still prosecute them at 2,000 in Snohomish County a year.
People aren't thinking. You can call it a mistake. You can call it selfish. It's not just that you're an 08 or you have 5 nanograms. Is your driving affected by alcohol? And you don't have to be an 08. You don't have to have 5 nanograms. And the other thing that's worth mentioning is it's not just that you have a marijuana DUI, perhaps. You know, people sometimes both drink and smoke marijuana. And when you have the combined effects of those, that makes for an even stronger case, potentially, for me as a prosecutor. Officer Brinkman can probably speak more to that. But,
That's the thing, Adam. It's the impairment level, right? So you're impaired not just physically but mentally. So it's the judgment issue that comes in there. So after you have, you know, 3 beers, He's thinking, I'm okay to drive. You don't know. You can't judge for yourself now if you're okay to drive or not. Or you smoke some marijuana. Or in Somers County, it's a huge issue with heroin. And Matthew would think, well, what level do you have to be of heroin to be okay to drive? You know, there's a.
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
You never heard that?
What level do you have to be at doing heroin to drive?
I've never tried it, but.
Yeah. I know.
I would not suggest driving at all after having.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone said to you, "Why would did I? How I wasn't drinking. I was only doing heroin." Has anyone ever said that to you before?
No, they'll be more like, "I never touched meth, man. I would never do something like that. I'll just do heroin. Just heroin.
Just do heroin.
Or if they're meth, I'll just do meth. I'll never do heroin." But that's the thing, you know. If you're gonna, we're trying to get across here, like Shannon mentioned to us. If you're gonna go out and drink, we're not opposed to that. We're saying, be smart about it ahead of time. If you're not going to go out and drink and have more than one drink, don't drive your car to the establishment. Leave your car home. Take a taxi to the establishment. If you're there, people like Carrie, she'll be talking about how you can get home safely without any charge at all. If you have a designated driver, a designated driver is someone that does not drink at all. I've arrested a lot of designated drivers for DUI because the designated driver is whoever had the least to drink. They're the designated. I'm fine on the DD, right? They're kind of like Mike over here, went behind my back and served himself a drink here when I wasn't looking. Don't even know what his PBT is yet, and he got himself another drink here.
Did you get another drink?
Well, I have it. I sipped a little bit, but I'm...
He's getting ready. He's preparing.
He served himself.
We just sent an order of chicken wings here, too, so...
Yeah, if you're the establishment, you don't take your car there. You take a taxi there. You take a taxi and where you're calling a place that'll get you home. But don't go there and think, okay, I'm going to monitor myself. I got my own portable breath test with me to see if I'm okay. Because, again, like we talked about, it's not the level you're at in your breath. It's are you impaired or not? Should you be driving a car at all?
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned I find interesting is we always hear about our young people today. I mean, the problems with our young people. I will give a shout-out to them. I mean, as far as DDs go or designated drivers, I think they kind of get it. I know a lot of them, and they seem to designate someone not to drink when they go out, which is, I think, good for them. Is it the adults, the grown-ups here that are the ones that you're busting all the time? Or
If they get it and they're doing it right, I guess I wouldn't know that, right, because I didn't stop.
Yeah, you don't see the ones that get it, right?
So there's a fair amount, I'm sure, there are.
You should do that, just randomly start pulling people over.
Yeah,
do you get it?
Do you get it?
I got to say, I think the message has helped at all age levels. There's a lot of cars we stop now. People have said, hey, I just left a bar and I only had one beer, and sure enough they did, or I haven't drank at all and they didn't. And there's a lot more of that happening we're finding. We do these DUI emphasis nights and we find there's a lot more cars with really sober designated drivers than there used to be. So
that's good.
The message, yeah, it is good. And we have
is it because of the DARE program? Remember that from back in the day?
I don't think it's because of that.
I think it's the education. I think it's doing shows like this and the education and the zero tolerance. I mean, isn't the state of Washington, don't they have zero tolerance? Is that what they're working on?
Gio, right, who's sitting next to you, is 21 years old, right?
Hi, Gio.
22. Call 22. Me a liar. So do you when you go out with your friends, do you make sure you get a ride home? Do you have a designated driver?
Yes, we use designated drivers.
Like you would go, no, we don't.
But I've had a lot. I have multiple friends who have DUIs. Like I've been there. I have friends who have really close friends who have DUIs, and you know we've all been in those situations where we've made the wrong decision and stuff like that, and people pay for it. And so it really makes you learn that you need to make the right decision and you need to have somebody who's going to step up and be willing to look out for everybody.
You know, this just made me think, Adam, how about the people that aren't 21 yet that get pulled over for DUI?
Well, those are called minor DUIs, and there's a lower BAC in order to have what we call your per se guilty of DUI. So, if you're a minor and Officer Brinkman can speak to this, but it's not an 08, it's lower. So don't do that. And you can also still just be charged with regular DUI too. And we've certainly done that from time to time as well.
Minor is 0.02.
Which
should be zero, right? Because you're 21, but Washington State, it's a 0.02.
What about marijuana? How old do you have to be to legally smoke marijuana?
Same thing, 21 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, under 21, it's zero. If you have any THC in your blood driving under 21, then it's a DUI.
Now also, say you're at a park. You don't even have to be driving, right? If you're standing outside of your car drinking a beer, you'll get a DUI for that too, right?
No, you actually have to be behind the wheel with the car. The car really has to be moving for DUI. If they're in the car and the keys are in the ignition, or in the car is probably running, but it's in a park, then it's physical control. So it's a same charge really as a DUI, but it's called being in physical control of a motor vehicle while under the influence of alcohol and or drugs.
Okay, I'm just going to keep going. So what, say you pull somebody over that's been drinking and their passenger in the car is also drunk. Did they get a DUI too?
The passenger?
Yeah.
No, they get a ticket for being stupid, but there's
for being stupid enough to let some drunk guy drive them around.
No, right. there's no charge for them. And if they're minor, they can be charged with minor consumption of alcohol, but no, there's no charge for them at all. Which we should probably bounce back to Brenda here for a second, because she just blew into the portable breath test again, and that was after 6 drinks. And she's one of the first people that I've actually had blow a .093 and just laugh almost uncontrollably after she saw her reading. And so that's a pretty good sign.
Well, let's find out how she feels.
Yeah, how many drinks has she had?
0.93.
A point zero. She's 0.93, correct, Shannon. So she's had 6 drinks now, equivalent of 6 drinks. So how do you feel, Brenda? Would you drive a car right now?
I would not drive a car, but I feel like I would be conflicted. Because I felt like after this amount of time, like I wouldn't be at this level. So I've learned a lot about how it escalates.
So again, there's that whole judgment thing, right? There's a .093. She's not really sure if she would drive or not, but obviously she shouldn't be driving, but the judgment's impaired, obviously. So try this, Brenda. Try Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Yeah. Peter Piper picked a... I can't say the rest.
Yeah. Guilty.
Yeah, yeah. I would be interested. Yeah, her eyes are blurry. She's got
a
constant grin.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah.
So look over here. So the Brendan now doing this horizontal gaze and nystagmus test, if I move it back and forth, it's pretty apparent you can see her eyes want to jump. They don't just follow smoothly. They jump in big saccades. And I'm holding my finger out here all the way. And Trace is sitting right behind me. You can probably see her eye kind of bouncing.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. That means that she's at a .08 level or higher at that point.
Did you hear him say saccades?
How's Mike doing?
I know. That's why I was asking him. Do you know what saccades means?
Saccades.
Yeah. That's what you said, right?
I did say saccades, yeah.
No, I'm not familiar. What's saccades?
That's so the eyes weren't falling smoothly. They were jumping in big leaps.
It's like a muscle spasm. It's
no, not really. The muscle's so relaxed it can't follow smoothly, so it's just so relaxed. It wants to go back to center.
Did you do a breathalyzer on Mikey here?
Well, no, because he was, again, sneaking drinks behind my back. I can't just have him drinking drinks down.
I poured another one on Tracy's suggestion. She thought maybe I wasn't sloppy enough.
See,
that's a sign of impairment right there.
Pass the buck to a friend.
And,
right?
And how do you feel? You look okay.
I feel fine.
You look a little glassy, though. Now, I don't know, did we mention that Mike is 6'8"? He's a big boy. Yeah, he's a big guy.
Wow, much taller now, was he?
So normally, if you're pulling over somebody that's 6'8"...
Yeah.
I mean,
we just tase him right away.
Yeah, totally.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was you. So now I know.
So yeah, if they're a big guy, they can generally drink more and not feel the impairment level as much. Or they still might be
Think they can drink a lot.
Right, they might be impaired still as much, but not show it as much. But really, they shouldn't be driving because their judgment's impaired. But so why don't you look over here, Mike? We'll check your eyes here. We'll do the same thing we did with Brenda. And before I do that, Mike is now on his – was that a double shot, Mike? So Mike is 1, 2, 3, 4. So you've had 5. This is your 10 shots now you're working on. So here, Mike. He's working on it.
I would be under the table by
now. So I can see his eyes are not falling. They're not bad. They're kind of jerking as I see that. They're not falling real smooth. I'm going to hold my finger all the way out here. And, yeah, see, Mike's such a big guy. He's holding his liquor pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a lot in his eyes there. So I see they're right jerking right there. If you're over there, you can kind of see it jerking. So, yeah, he's showing definitely he's impaired.
Let's go back to the liquor store.
How are you feeling, Mike? I mean, right now, I mean, from a standpoint, a judgment standpoint, driving wise.
Well, yeah. Again, driving is not something I would choose to do right now. I think if I was at home at this point, anyone said let's go to the bar, I would see who else is available. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that, especially because I know I have to get back at some point. You know, mm-hmm. I think Shannon, something you said earlier, kind of this disbelief. Why would someone ever think to do this when we're going over how much it can cost you? Well, I think pre-planning is key. If you don't have a game plan before you go out, when you get to the point where I'm at right now, things don't sound so bad. And that's, I think, where the real danger lies.
Yeah, you shouldn't be making plans when you're impaired.
No.
Exactly. You should
make
plans. It's
kind of like you shouldn't go grocery shop when you're hungry either.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
same idea.
Exactly.
Same approach.
And that's one of the things that when you drink alcohol, you're 13 times more risk to make a risky move or to do something that puts you at risk. And when you combine alcohol and marijuana, you're 24 times more likely to engage in high-risk activity, like thinking I'm okay to drive. So you can see that it exasperates the whole problem when you combine those two.
Interesting.
It is. 13 times more likely to do something you shouldn't do, and 24 with the combination.
Correct, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I don't have any stats on meth. You put that in there. Probably
no, yeah, we got enough to worry about
yeah,
with alcohol
totally.
And marijuana. I just talked to Adam. He's got 2,000 of these a year to deal with.
Now, we did have a question about how many DUIs are arrested. In 2013, there was over 30,000 DUI cases in Washington State. So that was 30,000 arrests.
And how does that – do we know how that holds up against the – you know, in the country?
I don't know. Actually.
Do we know county versus county? I mean, it's Snohomish County. They don't have those stats. Can't compare. Obviously, King has more because more people. But statistically speaking, I guess, how do we look in Snohomish?
Well, I can tell you anecdotally that my boss, Mark Rowe, routinely gets complaints from defense attorneys that we're harder than on DUI defendants than in any other county in the state. So that may not necessarily give you the numbers, but it tells you how seriously we prosecute these cases.
So stay out of Snohomish County.
Well, and there's stay out of Snohomish
and it's
County.
Not
stay,
like,
stay out of every county.
Yeah.
But there's a point, you know, we're talking about the judgment of each person in drinking and driving. But remember, we have this HGN we've been talking about, and we have field sobriety tests. There are a couple important points. You don't need to be a scientist or to be a DRE to know when someone's drunk.
Right.
It looks like a drunk, smells like a drunk, it is a drunk. Yeah. And the point there is if you're relatively sober and you're at a party and you see somebody who's clearly intoxicated, because we've all seen drunk people, do them a favor and tell them not to get in the car.
Yeah.
So it's not just about our own sense of responsibility to ourselves, but what about the responsibility that we have to keep our friends and family members from doing this?
And
so,
I think nowadays, too, I mean, I think that people are educated enough to do that. Plus, you know, you see those commercials where the cop pulls over and opens up the door and all the alcohol falls out of it and that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think the education is a big part, like you said, Murray, but really – ultimately, the fear of being arrested is the most effective tool we found, is it?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why Snohomish County, you know, when Tracy was in the task force too, is one of the most effective counties in doing that. That we have these DUI emphasis nights, patrol nights, and we target, we use media ahead of time, we read our board so they know we're out there. And we hit.
Yeah, they let you know they're there too. That's the thing.
Yeah, we
that's
give them plenty of fair warning. Radio will talk about it.
Yeah.
We're going to be out. Extra cops out. Next weekend we have over 1,000 extra cops out doing DUI enforcement. So we let people know that ahead of time, so there's forewarning. But we hit it hard in Snow Counties, and there's zero tolerance, like you said. If they're impaired, they get arrested.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's important stuff.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. Adam, you're welcome to stick around. And when we come back, we've never had anybody with Mothers Against Drunk Driving before.
Mad.
We've never had anybody on from that. We have someone tonight. Arthur Laritz joins us. We're going to talk to him and continue our panel discussion. It's the Health Matters DUI Awareness Show, and this is Fox Sports 1380.
This is Chris Mannix in for Dan. Join us Tuesday in the Dan Patrick Show. Hall of Famer Reggie Miller from the NBA on TNT will be with us. Just how good are the Warriors and Raptors, and just how awful are his former nemesis, the New York Knicks? And does he believe Kobe Bryant wasn't trying to recruit Rajon Rondo over breakfast? We'll also recap Monday night's contest between the Falcons and Packers at Lambeau. Plus, we continue looking at the fall from the selection committee's final rankings as well. That's Tuesday on the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick, DP in the morning.
Weekday mornings at 6.
Fox Sports 1380.
Looking for money-saving coupons on the web or on your smartphone? Who isn't? We've made it easy. Hometown Values Coupon Magazine offers great deals and discounts at local businesses. From restaurants to auto service, hair care, or home improvement, we've got you covered. Visit myhometownvalues.com to print coupons, or you can download the free iPhone or Android app. Just search Hometown Values in the App Store. Putting valuable coupons at your fingertips saves you money and supports local business. Hometown Values. It's like getting paid to read.
Have you filed for Social Security disability benefits and been denied? That's what happens in over half of new claims. If you're not able to hold down a full-time job because of a physical or mental disability and been denied your benefits, you need the experience of the law offices of Dale Wagner on your side. They understand the complexities of Social Security law and how to prepare the best case for you. And there are no fees unless you get the benefits you deserve. Call 360-629-5276, 360-629-5276, or visit Dale Wagner Law.
The holidays can be a difficult time, especially if you've recently lost a loved one. Balancing the joy and merriment of Christmas time and the new year with that lingering feeling of loss. Maybe this is the first holiday season without grandpa or a sibling sitting down for dinner. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery can help you strike that balance between joy and loss. Please come and visit our free holiday festival open house on Saturday, December 13th from noon to 3. Be sure to bring a photo of your loved one and we'll make a commemorative ornament. We'll decorate Evergreen's memorial Christmas tree, enjoy snacks and hot beverages, plus great holiday music provided by the Common Ground Men's Quartet. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery is located at 4504 Broadway. We'll also have a drop box for toys, hats, and gloves, and teenage gift donations to Christmas House. Celebrate the lives of our friends and family that have gone before us. It's the Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery Free Holiday Festival Open House on Saturday, December 13th from noon to 3, 4504 Broadway in Everett.
Shed some light on the dark and rainy weather this fall with discounts from Puget Sound Energy on brighter LED lighting. LEDs use a fraction of the electricity as other bulbs and help you manage your energy cost. Plus, they're more affordable than ever and last up to 25 years. You can get LEDs in a variety of shapes, sizes, and color tones for under $6 with instant discounts from PSE. To learn more, visit pse.com/save.
Silver Tips Traffic.
Well, good evening. I'm Abby Lynn, taking a look at the drive tonight. Things are backed up in both directions of I-5 through Seattle. Northbound, you're stuck from downtown all the way to Mount Lake Terrace, and southbound, the backup begins around Northgate and takes you through to the convention center. On 405 southbound at Northeast 30th Street, we're looking at a vehicle blocking the carpool lane that's got things tied up now all the way through Bellevue and down into Renton. If you're headed north on 405, you're going to be slow from Kirkland all the way up to the I-5 interchange. Traffic's brought to you by the Evergreen Holiday Festival, Saturday from noon to 3. Join us for the free Evergreen Funeral Home Holiday Festival. Strike the balance between the joy of the season and the loss of a loved one. Warm beverages, snacks, and music. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery is located at 4504 Broadway in Everett. And now back to the special DUI edition of Health Matters here on Fox Sports 1380.
Listening to Health Matters on Fox Sports 1380, presented by Integrated Rehabilitation Group. And now back to more of Health Matters with Maury Eskenazi and Shannon O'Kelly.
All right, welcome back to Health Matters. It's our DUI show. It's our fifth annual DUI show. How's it going? Good, everything's good. Okay, I just want to make sure we're on. Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly, and a cast of thousands joining us right now. Is from Mothers Against Drunk Driving, is Arthur Laritz. How are you?
Good, Maury. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. It's always been Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
It's always been Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Then I've been messing it up all these years. tell us a little history of Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
So Mothers Against Drunk Driving was started by a woman in California back in 1980 when her daughter was killed by a repeat offender. And since that time, MADD has really blossomed into a national organization. Every state has its own local chapter. And MADD serves a victim or survivor of a drunk or drug driving crash every 8.6 minutes. In 2012 alone, they served over 61,000 victims and survivors of drunk and drug driving crashes. So it's really a national institution.
And it started by, this is a grassroots organization that started with someone who was directly affected, in a severe way. I mean, that's a terrible thing, but that's kind of the genesis of MADD.
Exactly.
And the goal and objective of Matt is to educate people regarding drunk driving, get people off the road. What's the objective?
So the mission for Matt is to eliminate drunk driving and underage drinking. Those are the missions for MAD, nationally and both on the state level as well.
And since 1980, what have they done to make people aware of that?
So quite a lot. So starting in 1980, back in 1984, MAD helped to lobby for the federal 21 minimum age drinking age law. Which was signed by President Reagan.
Because it was like 19 or 18 in some places, too?
It was different ages in different states. And so yeah. MAD was instrumental in making that 21 across the country.
Right.
Right.
Man, I forgot about that.
Yeah, across the board it's 21 now. It was 19 back in Idaho when I went to Washington State. That was, kind of the thing about...
You know what's funny is that... I don't know how funny this is, but you'll be the judge. Back in the 70s, before MAD was around... I remember going to, and when you hear me say this, people can get arrested, but I remember going to, doing the bar mitzvah circuit when I was 13 years old, and going to bar mitzvahs and drinking,
<Same here.
laughs> and drinking scotch and sevens, getting served
at 13?
To me. Yeah, getting served to me at a hotel bar back in those days. Can you imagine that today? So that's something that's changed too, right?
Absolutely. Matt's really been instrumental in educating the public about the effects of alcohol and
right.
driving.
Yeah, see, times have changed since then.
Do you have members? I mean, are you a member of MAD, or is this a volunteer organization, or who are your workers? Who are your troops?
So our troops locally, first of all, I'm on the advisory board for MAD. That's what I do. The advisory board has been in existence in Washington State for about a year and a half or so. Washington has a full-time victim services specialist. Starting this year, we're getting a new state executive director coming up early next year. And otherwise, MAD is largely supported by victims and volunteers. So we are in large part driven by donations statewide. And so our biggest fundraiser is typically our Walk Like MAD, which happens every fall in Seattle typically.
And are you going out and doing educational programs in schools? How do you get your message out and teach and instruct? Because kind of like this program right now, tonight, our goal is to zero tolerance of DUIs all over.
Right. So Matt has – one of the campaigns it has is a campaign called TOOFS, which is Tie One On for Safety. And it's literally tying on ribbons onto people's antennas on cars and raising awareness. There also are programs for parents to get educated through MAD to teach awareness about drunk driving and underage drinking. So they're trying to get the messages out to the schools, high schools, and younger.
Also joining us, Tom Dixon is back. He's been on this show as much as we have. You've been on every episode of our DUI show.
Does he have a 5-year pin?
We're putting one together. We're putting a 5-year pin. I think I said this for the first 2 years. I don't remember him because I was drinking and he was always
That's
on
right.
towards the end. Remember
at the
that?
End of that night, a couple of those nights, I think your cords were all wrapped. I thought you were going to strangle yourself.
I know. Yeah.
You know?
I thought. I mean, Tom, thanks for coming back with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Now, the Washington State Liquor Control Board is still running, even though their liquor stores are different now, right?
Right. Absolutely. We've always had an enforcement division, a licensing division. And basically, anything that has to do with manufacture, importation, transportation, distribution, and sale of alcohol, we either give it a license or a permit.
Have you seen anything change since liquor is being sold in grocery stores now? Because I thought, and I don't know about you, Shannon, but once I saw that there, I was thinking, I wonder if that makes it easier for people to steal.
I've noticed real quick, I mean, since you mentioned that, Maury, is just the other day I was in a grocery store, and everything's locked up now. When it first started, they didn't lock it up. I think a lot of minors, I think they had problems with that, but Tom can address that.
Yeah, they absolutely do. When I was a liquor enforcement officer and I was out in the street every night, I would see kids running down the street with two cases of Heidelberg beer, and now they're running down the street with a fifth of Monarch rum, and it's a whole lot easier to catch a kid that's carrying two cases of beer as opposed to some rum.
Yeah, I just noticed that just the other day. I was in, everything's locked up now. It used to be even the Monarchs, and they used to lock up the high-end stuff. Now
it used to be just razor blades.
Yeah. I haven't noticed that yet.
Yeah. No,
but everything's locked up.
Yeah, no, not exactly.
Really?
No, what they'll do is they'll lock up the stuff that is high end, but they'll leave end caps on that is the real bottom end of the barrel stuff, and that's the stuff you see going out the door because kids don't care.
And since some stores, you're right, Shannon, for a while they were locking up some stores, all things, some just the higher end liquor, but actually what's happening now because of the manpower it takes for a patient to go, hey, I want to buy some liquor, and then have an employee go over there and lock the cabinet. They actually, a lot of stores now have decided not to lock up their liquor now. They've taken it out of the cabinets, and now there's more open now than it used to be. So Safeway is all open. QFC had theirs locked up, but most of their stores have now not been locked up because of the hardship of trying to purchase it. So yeah, there's a mass amount of theft.
Theft-wise, are you getting more, as an officer, are you getting more calls of like grab-and-run type situations where minors go into grocery stores and grab a fifth to take off?
Well, I mean, not just minors. I mean, adults, too, that just don't want to pay for it, that people off the street come in and grab it.
I didn't mean to offend any minors out there. I don't know why I was thinking that.
Hear us in Virginia anyway. But, don't even worry about it.
Tom, go ahead.
There are organized crime rings in the state of Washington that will steal spirits in bulk and sell it to restaurants and tavern licensees.
Not out of stores. They hijack trucks and stuff?
No, we just ran across that probably 2 weeks ago in Linwood at the Albertson store. A guy had a whole grocery cart full of liquor covered up with a few things, and he'd actually stolen there three other times they knew about, and runs out the door, and they have a rig, and they pull it in. And he ended up talking to us, and he was involved in a whole ring of the Washington statewide. They steal this liquor. And then,
are you kidding me?
No, wow. It's you look at the cost of buying it with the taxes on it. It's not cheap.
Yeah,
they're listening to the police scanners, and they know what their store policies are, and they will use that to their advantage.
And Tom, so your job basically is to enforce the licensee process. So is that right?
Right. We regulate all the liquor, tobacco, and marijuana licensees in the state.
So when you see an establishment applying for a liquor license. Is it just an application, or do they have to have an interview, or what I'm asking is...
No, they actually fill out an application. It's reasonably extensive, and they have to, each person that's invested any money into that business has to qualify, personal criminal history. They have to show us where they got their money, that it was legitimately obtained, and they have sufficient funds to undertake the business venture.
Well, let me ask you then. So I go out and I open up a restaurant and I get a liquor license. Who's going to teach me how to serve? Because there's a problem with over-serving, and that's what you enforce as an organization. Who teaches those bartenders and cocktail waitresses or whomever to recognize when someone's over-served?
Well, in the state of Washington, we have a mandatory alcohol server training, and everybody that serves alcohol or manages anybody that serves alcohol needs to go through a class and get a certificate. It lasts 5 years, and we could take that certificate away as well.
And you track that. I mean, I think you guys are sophisticated enough where you know where the problems are. And I think we talked in the past, you will go in and re-educate if need be.
Yeah, we'll re-educate either in a traditional fashion if they want us to come in and talk to them, or we'll educate them with a big ticket. And we'll write them a ticket for over-serving of alcohol or selling to minors or after hours, any of those things. And that's actually a pretty good education tool because they're given an opportunity to do something like kind of like mitigation court. We call it a settlement conference, and they'll agree to work certain risk reduction factors into their operation in exchange for getting their penalty lowered.
Let's talk marijuana. You're involved with the new stores that are opening up. How many stores are open in Snohomish County that sell retail marijuana?
Well, there are 89 licensed in the state of Washington.
Okay.
I think that I have about 30 in my region, which is about a quarter of the state, the northwest corner of the state. And I think it's in Snohomish County. I know I have 5 in Everett, inside the city limits of Everett, and I think probably 7 or 8 outside, maybe 9 outside the...
I've never been to one. Are they open now?
They absolutely are.
They're making money.
There was just something in the news. Was it Linwood? What city was going to shut them down, or the medicinal marijuana, or something like take their license away? Was that something around here?
We don't regulate medical marijuana at all.
Okay, maybe that's what it was, medical marijuana that they were looking at.
Municipalities can choose to not allow medical or sale of marijuana inside their cities. There's a lawsuit pending in some places.
But
you're right. Linwood right now, we have no marijuana regulated stores that, and they're talking about moratorium on that continuing. But, yeah, so the like Maury's disclaimer, that are they open? I've never been to one. That was good, Maury.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's true. Yeah. I don't even know where you find them at.
But
the Green Cross, Maury.
Nope. Those. I think that's the medical. That's the medical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
See. I mean, that's why we do this show.
Yeah. Totally.
Right?
I know. Yeah.
I gotta learn too.
Well, liquor control plays an integral part, like Tom was saying, in the whole DUI enforcement. Because when we do these DUI emphasis nights, we also have liquor control agents working at the same nights, and they'll come to the same briefings that we have, and we talk about areas we're going to hit, and then they'll go to bars and see if there's over serving, or if we arrest someone for DUI. And we know they just came from a certain bar, we'll call the liquor control agent and say, this person just came from this bar. This is what their breathalyzer is. They'll go to that bar and sit and have a soda and watch for over service and enforce that way also.
Do you have to announce that you're coming, Tom?
Or is no.
It, oh, no.
No, as a matter of fact,
that would take the fun out of it, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, I was just wondering because, I mean, yeah. You know.
Most of the time, the enforcement officer works with their liquor licensee. I mean, there's a partnership, kind of a relationship that they develop with them. And most liquor licensees and marijuana licensees, they operate in good faith. They're not – it's really not that much of a – you know. So
– Well, from a business standpoint, it's important that you make a lot of money on liquor sales. That license is very important to those operators, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. You lose your liquor license, you're in trouble.
Not a good
businesses.
Thing.
So, no, but we will work with them, so they'll know that enforcement officer. So we do undercovers, and people that they've never seen before, enforcement officers they've never seen before, are in there, and we get a lot clearer idea of what the premises really looks like in the absence of the liquor enforcement.
That's one of the first questions you ask, or maybe one of the top 10 questions you ask when you pull somebody over, is where they were drinking, right?
It's actually question number 30 on the DUI.
Okay, call me a liar for 20 questions.
It's down there, but so we do ask that, and it's really more just a report, is that bar. And I got to say, and I think Tom would agree with me, I think most bars, most servers, they don't want to overserve. They're not out there to try to overserve or just to make money. But you have a crowded bar with 50 or 60 people on a drink, and it's hard to keep track of and how many drinks has someone had. Are they impaired or not? How do you know that? You're just walking around serving. So I think most bars, they do attempt to do a good job for the most part. And not over-serving, but there's that fear by the owner of having that, because if they are cited, then really the more the fear isn't so much losing a license right off the bat, it's their insurance cost goes through the roof after they're known as being a bar that over-serves. That really increases, I mean, it can double or triple their insurance, which is really expensive. So, and there's an education prong that we also provide. I'll go to bars, and a lot of times bar owners will ask me to come in and do a class for their servers, and how do I know someone's impaired? Tulalip has done that several times. So most places are trying to do what they can to not reserve, but it's going to happen.
Right.
Tom, is there a place in bars now? I thought I read there may be a bar in Olympia that you can go and smoke pot there too. Does that happen in bars?
Well, I think that the smoke marijuana
inside. Oh, I stumped him,
inside,
didn't I?
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. I want to be careful.
Okay.
The smoke marijuana in a public place is a violation. It's the same as drinking in public, but there's a place down there. It's quote a club, and it's kind of up to the county as to whether they want to prosecute that or not. So, there is one place that's.
So I guess what I'm getting at, I mean, you can go to a bar and go out to the smoking area and have a drink and smoke.
You can have a smoke if you're. Far enough away from the entrance and whatnot, but if you smoke marijuana or use any marijuana, edibles or otherwise, then that bar is obliged to kick you out for the night.
Huh. Mm.
And if they don't, we'll write them a ticket.
Interesting. I didn't know.
Taking a break. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue with. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just great. I mean, I'm learning. I'm learning.
I know.
Just sitting here listening.
It's good stuff.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't realize. I mean, that's interesting that you say that it's legal, but you can't do it in a tavern. Pot.
Right. Yeah. Marijuana. Not in a public place at all.
All right. We're still going to take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with the Health Matters DUI Awareness Show. Right back, right after this on Fox Sports 1380.
For professional athletes like the Everett Silvertips, their bodies are how they make their living. That's why they trust the doctors at Everett Bone and Joint to take care of their orthopedic health. These teams know that the doctors will keep their players in the game and healthy. When you visit them, you'll be cared for by doctors who are specially trained in the problems of the bones, joints, muscles, and connective tissues. They're board certified and have years of experience. And they're the experts if you need arthritis or joint replacement surgery. Since 1982, they've been caring for people in the Puget Sound area and have earned their reputation for excellence. You can hear the doctors of Everett Bone and Joint during the Ask the Surgeon segment on Health Matters, Monday nights at 6 on Fox Sports 1380. For more information or to make an appointment, go to EverettBoneAndJoint.com or call 425-339-2433. Everett Bone and Joint. See what they can do for you.
Hi, I'm Steve Allman, owner of Pacific Power Batteries. Back in 1985, my dad and I started our company selling car and truck batteries from a route truck. Hey, buddy, want to buy a battery? Since that time, Pacific Power Batteries has grown to 8 stores here in Washington. So we're obviously doing this battery thing right. I'd like to personally reach out through the radio and thank every single customer who has ever bought a battery from us. For those of you who haven't, well, you're just a friend that we haven't met yet. Pacific Power Batteries, good people selling reliable batteries.
If you buy someone a pair of socks for a holiday gift, well, they have a pair of socks. Be creative. Give them what they really want. Tickets to the big game. Hey, it's the Fish for my friends at VenueKings.com. There's a hard-to-find ticket to a sold-out game or event? Well, it's not really a problem at VenueKings.com. They'll get you in the door without any hassles. Tickets delivered directly to you by whatever means necessary. Who wouldn't love Seahawks tickets under the tree this year? Regular season or playoffs? Yes, I said playoffs! UW bowl game tickets, UFC fights in Vegas, Barry Manilow, Bette Midler at Key Arena, Canucks hockey, whatever it is, VenueKings has you covered. Locally, all over the country, it's VenueKings.com. They even handle World Cup soccer ticket needs. Safe, secure, and the best price you'll get on the secondary ticket market anywhere. VenueKings.com. An award-winning company that gets you in the game. Give the gift of the best ticket in town this holiday season. VenueKings.com.
Premier Polaris in Monroe salutes the men and women of our armed forces. Let's remember them by continuing to donate blood for our returning injured military. Be a silent hero and give blood today. Save the life of a soldier. From Premier Polaris in Monroe, offering brand new model year 2013 800 Pro RMK snowmobiles for as low as $9,500 plus tax with a one-year extended warranty. Stop in at Premier Polaris in Monroe for details on terrain-dominating sleds today.
The following is a paid program.
Health Matters. Health Matters.
Well, what's the difference between a bacteria infection and a viral infection?
A viral infection can predispose you to getting a bacterial infection.
Each week, we address health issues, talk about treatments, prevention, and ways to stay healthy.
Coronary artery disease is the most common form of heart disease in the U.S.
When do you consider using a stent versus conservative care?
Brought to you by Integrated Rehabilitation Group, physical and hand therapy clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, where you receive excellent care with exceptional results. Now your hosts, Maury Eskenazi and Shannon O'Kelly.
All right, we are back. Welcome back to Health Matters. It's our DUI awareness show. Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly. They just played the open again of our show. It's kind of like you go to a baseball game and it goes like 14 innings. They play the take me out of the ball game in the 14th inning.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Are we in the second hour here?
Yes, we are.
Oh, nice.
We're in the second hour.
Time's going by.
Remember year one, we went like 4 hours?
We did.
Remember that one?
Right.
Shannon
had. You were drunk then.
Yeah, you
I was.
You were,
it seemed like 4 hours.
Yeah, it seemed like 4 hours.
We are back. We have a steam panel with us, but we want to check. Are we going to check levels?
Let's check on our drinkers. Yeah. So we checked Mike, and after 10 shots, he's a .094, so he definitely is a little. How are you feeling, Mike?
Would
you?
I wouldn't drive a car right now.
Try the Peter Piper pickle peppers.
Give it to me.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Maury, if you talk while he tells
me. How do you not know it anyway? I mean,
well, bruising my self-esteem won't make me do it any better. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. That's not one of the standardized DUI tests, so I'd arrest you anyway, but that was pretty well done.
Wouldn't you just make him say that to humiliate him, and then you'd arrest him?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I've noticed from this end of the table with Mike, I've noticed a little bit eyes are starting to get glassy.
He's got the glaze.
And he's got a little grin on his face. And
what's that supposed to mean, Shannon?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm waiting for evil Mike to show up. Yeah. That's what I run out of the room.
Someone said he was a happy guy, huh?
Apparently, yeah. Right. Normally is.
Well, Maury's been telling everyone since last week that I'm the meanest drunk that anyone's ever seen, which isn't true, but he likes to spread rumors.
It would make for a great show, don't you
think? But he's showing, you know, like Shannon said, his eyes are glossy looking. He's got a kind of flushed face and just kind of a, I mean, he says a general, I've been drinking too much appearance about him. And you can, like,
it's amazing when you're sober, you know, how you can notice things in a drunk person.
It's
or
like
a,
Adam, the prosecutor, was saying, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see if someone's had too much to drink. Sometimes the drugs are harder to.
You know what? Next year we're going to get a rocket scientist to come on and see if
we should. We should just check with Brenda real quick, because Brenda had an interesting story, kind of ties into what we're talking about here. And she obviously wouldn't drink and drive, and she's learned that. And this could have been educational for her, too, she said. But Brenda, why don't you tell us what happened to you in 19, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a couple years ago.
Yeah, a couple years ago when I was 19 years old, we were in Vancouver, Canada, my brother and my cousin, and hit by a drunk driver, T-boned in an intersection, and I had my spleen removed, pelvis broken in three places, and spent a week and a half in the hospital. So it was an ordeal, and that person did not get ticketed for drunk driving.
Wow, that's interesting. I thought Canada was pretty tough on their drivers up there. Based, aren't they 18 to drink up there? 18, 19,
19.
Yeah, I've always heard they're really tough on drinking.
She
driving.
Did not get a ticket.
Wow, well, there you go.
And
I mean,
she was tested for DUI, and she got, you know, she was over the limit in Canada.
I'm curious because I didn't know that, Brenda, and I know that everybody at this table right now, we have how many people here? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. How many people have had a direct experience of someone hitting you or getting hit by a drunk driver? I mean, raise your hand. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's 4 out of 10, 40% of the people in this room have had direct experience. I mean, that's pretty amazing when you're just sitting around with 10 folks. What was your experience?
Well, I can just tell you nationally, on average, 2 in 3 people will be involved in a drunk driving crash in their lifetime.
So I didn't go ahead, come again?
Yeah, so on average, 2 in 3 people will be involved in a drunk driving crash in their lifetime. 2 out of 3 people. That's staggering.
Yeah, that is staggering. And Mark?
Yeah, that's amazing. No, mine was more, it was actually on the job. I was doing DUI tests on someone else, and another DUI driver hit my patrol car and shoved it forward towards me, and I had to jump out of the way. And so they got arrested, too. So, yeah, there's...
That's either a bad night or you're working really hard.
Yeah.
It's just kind of what happens sometimes. I've had been doing DUI tests on one driver, and a lady pulled up and asked me for directions, and she was drunk too. So
no way.
I gave her directions right to the jail. And
I mean, she pulled the hell. Oh, wow. Yeah. And Mike, you had an experience?
Yeah, not nearly as tragic since I wasn't in the vehicle, but at the time I was living in Bellingham, being a college town. Sure enough, there was a Saturday night. I didn't go out, but my buddies did. I get a knock on my bedroom. I'm asleep. Some drunk person had totaled my car while it was parked. And, you know, thankfully, he tried to escape on foot, but, you know, he eventually felt bad and came back for it. But, you know, it's not a nice thing to wake up to.
No, yeah.
Carrie is with us. She's been hanging out with us. Now, you, one of the things you do, the Zach Hartwell Foundation that you founded, correct?
Right.
For your brother, Zach. Right. We talked about it last year. He was killed in a DUI crash a few years ago. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you do now is that you will, if somebody calls you, you'll drive them home from a bar locally in the area, correct?
I do that, yeah.
What? So tell us about that. I mean, how long have you been doing it? Do you ever run into, like, some crazy drunk people that you have to kick out of your car?
I haven't kicked anybody out yet.
Okay.
I've been doing it for 2.5 years. I've had some pretty amazing experiences, but I haven't had any awful people. Won't be a good night.
What about the amazing experiences? What? Tell us some of those.
Amazing experiences?
Yeah, you said I've had a couple amazing experiences.
I've had someone get out of their car when I got them home, literally, running in a circle, flapping their arms behind their back. I'm not kidding. Seriously. Telling me that I was an angel for drunk people.
I told you it's different when you're sober, isn't it?
Yeah.
Those were the times that I wish I had cameras in my car. I really think I need to do that.
And tell us, you talk about your brother. Give us a little history. What happened there?
My brother was Zach Hartwell, and he was killed June 20th of 2011 as a passenger in the Jackass star Ryan Dunn's car.
This is. I mean, here we are. I mean, the Jackass star Ryan Dunn was going what 95, 100 miles an hour?
132 to 140 miles an hour.
Oh my gosh! And your brother was a passenger.
He was.
Okay.
And your and this guy who was driving, he was supposed to be the designated driver, right?
Well, he was supposed to get him home safely.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Wow.
130 miles an hour. What was his blood level?
0.196.
So Mike is, you just put this from perspective, 0.196, driving 130 miles an hour, and it's done. What's done is done, but your brother, that's tragic. You're at what was Mike at?
0.094.
And no way you drive right now.
0.094.
No way you drive at 25 miles an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
So Mike's had, you know, 10 shots. He's a 0.094. So to double that, we're looking at probably 21 shots to be a 0.194.
Wow.
So that's a lot of alcohols. Carrie, how does someone get a hold of you if they want to get a ride home?
Right.
You want the number?
Yeah, we love the number.
The website, the number, the whole nine yards.
Okay, so the Facebook page is The Zach Mission, and Zach just spelled his name Z-A-C, so The Zach Mission. The number's there. The number is 425-908-0409, and if you Google The Zach Mission, you can find it.
And are you the only driver, or do you have other people working
for you? I'm the main driver.
You're the main driver.
I have people who help me.
Nice. And are people using you more? I mean, are you getting the word out? I mean,
a lot of people know.
There's no excuse not to call or get a ride here, folks, particularly this time of year. And you never turn anybody away. It doesn't matter what time of day.
No, it doesn't matter.
And even they don't have to be, you know, they don't have to be hammered, right?
No. I truly believe in zero tolerance. If anything happens that wasn't planned and they don't have a contingency plan or their plan that they did have falls through, absolutely. You don't have to be completely drunk. If you've had anything to drink, you need a ride on there.
And is this kind of like the, you know, normally what we want to tell people is call a cab first or, you know, make plans before, but at the, you know, don't just count on you just to drive them.
Well,
to,
I definitely don't want to be abused.
Yeah, totally.
But there's a lot of times during the day, busy nights, things like that, where a cab can take over an hour.
Right.
And sometimes it's just not reasonable to expect someone who's intoxicated or on their way to being pretty intoxicated to sit around and wait for an hour.
Right.
While their keys are burning a hole in their pocket and their car is, you know, a couple parking spaces away.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, every year we talk to someone from the victims panel, and Carrie, your business, the First Choice DUI Victims Panel, the president, the head, is it the CEO? Is that what we call you?
That's Marcy.
That's Marcy. It's Marcy Jones. Thanks for coming on with us.
You're welcome.
If you could just have your microphone right up there. Right. Tell us about how you came to be with the First Choice DUI Victims Panel.
So I was at a trial for the teenager who was responsible for my grandson's death. Ooh, I'm pretty nervous here.
Don't be nervous. We're just having a good time. Let's talk about it. Your grandson, Braden.
Right.
Can you tell us what happened?
Well, what I was going to say is how I got into this.
Right.
And so at the trial, you know, I was sitting behind the prosecutor, and this is in Spokane, Washington, and the prosecutor had a victim's advocate with her. And the victim's advocate told me about DUI panels and suggested that I speak at them. So I started speaking at DUI panels maybe about 5 months after my grandson's death, and that's how I became involved in panels, was the victim's advocate.
Can you tell us about your grandson?
Sure. Which part? The good part? The part that...
Tell us every part. The good part first, of course.
Okay, so Braden was born in Spokane. I was born in Spokane. We were both born in Sacred Heart Hospital. And Braden lived here in the Seattle area for most of his first 11 years. And we were very close. I was a young grandmother. I was too young to be a grandmother. I was 39. So Braden and I had an opportunity to spend a lot of time together. And you know, we'd go to Nordstrom and shop for shoes. We'd go to Nike, Adidas. I used to buy him shoes like every 3 months. And anybody who has kids understands that, right? Feet keep growing about every season. And
right.
And so we spent a lot of time together. And then at age 11, he moved to Spokane. And so at that point, you know, I didn't get to see him as often, but, you know, three or four times a year, he would spend Christmas. Christmas is almost here. I think that's why I'm a little nervous. But so Christmas morning, he would spend Christmas with his mother, and then she would put him on an airplane, and I'd get to have him every Christmas night for dinner. So she was very generous with Braden. And so, you know, he'd come here, and he would spend Christmas, and I would still go to Spokane and buy him shoes. So,
actually, Maury, Marcy is and Nick, her son, are the ones who founded that victims panel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And Braden, he was killed with his friends. They piled into an SUV, and they some were drinking.
It was graduation weekend, 2007. In Spokane, Braden went to West Valley High School, and so he was out with his older brother and his older brother's friends, and they were celebrating graduation weekend. And it ended into a party of eight teenagers, and they were all in an SUV and driving around at Veltsfield area. There's an airfield in the valley, and it's a great place to party, and, you know. So they were partying all night long. It was they were celebrating high school graduation, and the party did turn into a tragedy, and my grandson was killed.
Yeah, boy, I don't know how to follow up there, except that your goal now and your son's goal, and I'm sorry about that. And again, you know, this brings it home for everybody here. Is this? It's an activity that starts out great and it ends in a tragedy, and then so many people are affected. And I think what the important message is here, your goal as a victim panel is to get out and educate. Are you trying to educate everybody and kids and anybody involved that how just serious this is? I mean, what the consequences are, really?
Yes, we started out educating teens and adults, but then it became obvious that we needed to get to the younger kids. So we allowed, sorry about that, allowed 12-year-olds and up to come to our panels. It gets pretty tense, we reach out to 12-year-olds and older if they want to come to the panel.
Let's make sure, when you say the panel, what is going on at the victim panel? Is this where, right. If I get a DUI, I'm sent to this panel to see the kind of the consequences?
Okay, so a DUI panel is a result of someone getting a DUI. It was a teenager or an adult. They were pulled over. They were given a ticket for DUI, arrested, and now they have to come to a panel. It's usually their first time being arrested.
Is that automatic? Is that automatic? Everybody has to go. I'm looking at Adam, the prosecutor here. You know, I'm asking the question here, Officer Mark Brinkman. I mean, why don't we do this even before you get your license? I mean, in order to get your license as a 16-year-old high schooler, you should have to go to a victims panel. I mean, you know, I mean, it sounds very powerful just right here, your message. By the way, thank you so much. I mean, I know it's very emotional, and it is that time of year and holidays. And
Carrie,
you know,
feel free.
Yeah,
I wanted to say something that Marcy didn't say. I think the tragedy of losing Braden was compounded. Braden, when his autopsy was done, was found to be under the influence of nothing. No drugs, no alcohol, no nothing. Braden was 100% sober when he died. So
just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and as a young person, 15 years old, I mean, he had influence probably from older people, and you know, how do you teach someone not to get in the car, right? I mean, and that's what you're trying to do.
Right, and that is one of the things I worry about for teens, is I'm not, and even adults do this, they still get into that vehicle when they've, you know, when they know the driver's had too much to drink. And so I wish there was some way, you know, to get the message out to teens better. There is another way home, and that's what I love about Carrie's program. I mean, there is another way home. These kids don't have to get into the car with someone who's under the influence, but they do have to learn how to be, say no and not get into that car, and I don't know how to make that happen.
And that's hard to do when you've got peer pressure and you're with older people and stuff like that. I don't know the answer either, except that it's education, and it's all about doing what we're doing here.
And there are some counties, Sean, and I actually live in Island County, and there we have a Island County Impaired Victims Panel, and when they go through driver's ed, they can't get their license until they go sit through this panel and have to be signed off and show DOL they actually attended this panel before they can get their license. So some counties do have that in place, and it's really effective. I speak at it at times, and many teenagers have said, man, after hearing that and hearing about the laws and talking and hearing from victims, that really impacted us. So it's effective.
So, Carrie, what goes on at these victim panels? Can give us an idea.
Well, typically, by law, we have to have two speakers, and so it's usually Marcy or Nick that opens for us, and then...
And Nick is your son, right?
Yes, yeah. He is, yes.
And he would be here tonight, but he's sick.
He would. He's very sick.
Nick, if you're listening,
really
I hope you feel better.
Hi, Nick. So either Nick or Marcy would tell the story of their family tragedy. Nick has his story about it, and Marcy has hers, and they're both completely different. They're pretty amazing. We're always open for questions. When they're done, it's usually me. Always open for questions. And let me tell you, it's kind of interesting to sit in a room with that's full of people who've been charged with a DUI, because there's usually not too many people that are there for any other reason, and watch the reaction. I wish I could get to all of them before. There are a lot of outreaches to schools, and you know, I do that too as well. I've spoken with Target Zero, and then I've done them on my own. Anywhere I'm asked to go, we'll go. Nick has done them with me. So that's what happens. They get a certificate when they're done, hope that it means something.
Just out of curiosity, is there anybody there, repeat offenders, that go to that too?
Absolutely.
I mean, how must they feel, you know, sitting there and listening to that, and they've been pulled over, like, you know, they've had two or three DUIs?
I can't imagine how they feel. I couldn't imagine being there for one.
If they didn't get it the first time around, what's the repeat?
I know.
Exactly.
What's the repeat? I mean, kind of a waste of time. I don't know. I'd like to ask that question. I mean, is the second time around, do they change? I mean.
Well, they certainly didn't after the first time.
I mean, the point is here, again, you know, it's so easy to call someone like Carrie or get a ride or a plan before you even go out, because it can change people's lives. I mean, just overnight, within 24 hours. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that's the experience that Marcy had with her family.
I would like you to know, though, that when we speak, when you're looking at people, you see those that you touch. Their eyes just kind of spark up in light, and you know that you've gotten to them somehow, and then you, of course, hope that they take that information and use it wisely.
You know, as horrible as what you've gone through with Zach and what you've gone through with Braden, just think about all the people, you know, the lives you're saving, going in the community and doing what you're doing right now, because that's
what we hope for.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
That's it. Are we taking another break right now? All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're just going to do like a round table and just chat about some things we haven't hit yet, and we'll talk to our drinkers. And Marcy, thanks so much for coming on with us. It's Health Matters. This is Fox Sports 1380. We'll be right back right after this. As you know by now, the place I go for movie entertainment is the Galaxy Theater in Monroe. But it's more than just a movie theater. With V-Box technology, you're going to be immersed in an unmatched, realistic experience right in your seat. Galaxy Rewards is a great loyalty club for people who like going to the movies. And on Tuesdays, Rewards Club members pay $5. Plus, Orville Redenbacher popcorn, gift cards, and the monthly Movies with Maury movie premiere. For movie times and specials, go to galaxytheaters.com.
Cascade Valley Hospital and Clinics is an award-winning provider of healthcare services and specialties. For more than 100 years, their skilled and dedicated medical professionals and staff have been providing excellent, friendly healthcare to the people of Arlington, Darrington, Granite Falls, Lake Stevens, Marysville, Stanwood, and Greater Snohomish County. Whether you need primary care, specialty care, diagnostic services, or are expecting a baby, you'll find quality healthcare right here in your neighborhood. Cascade Valley Hospital and Clinics. Close to home, close to heart.
Join the award-winning healthcare team at Integrated Rehabilitation Group. IRG is expanding their team. They are currently seeking physical and hand therapists, striving to deliver high-quality patient care. Integrated Rehabilitation Group's focus is to champion their therapists to provide evidence-based therapy. You can even participate in mentorship programs and help advance your own career. Learn more today. Be a part of the IRG team. Visit irgpt.com.
And more the movie guy here. I've said this a million times. 4 weeks is a long time to wait for a movie you want to see right away. But at Silver Lake Video, you don't have to do that. They get movies right when you want to see them. Like if you want to see the movie RoboCop, you're going to have to wait to see it at Netflix. But you'd see it right now at Silver Lake Video. They also have Ride Along, which Netflix also doesn't have. See the newest titles the day they release every time. Silver Lake Video is your independently owned video store. See them online at silverlakevideo.net.
The holidays can be a difficult time, especially if you've recently lost a loved one. Balancing the joy and merriment of Christmas time and the new year with that lingering feeling of loss. Maybe this is the first holiday season without grandpa or a sibling sitting down for dinner. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery can help you strike that balance between joy and loss. Please come and visit our free holiday festival open house on Saturday, December 13th from noon to 3. Be sure to bring a photo of your loved one and we'll make a commemorative ornament. We'll decorate Evergreen's memorial Christmas tree, enjoy snacks and hot beverages, plus great holiday music provided by the Common Ground Men's Quartet. Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery is located at 4504 Broadway. We'll also have a drop box for toys, hats, and gloves, and teenage gift donations to Christmas House. Celebrate the lives of our friends and family that have gone before us. It's the Evergreen Funeral Home and Cemetery Free Holiday Festival Open House on Saturday, December 13th from noon to 3, 4504 Broadway in Everett.
If you've been told you need orthopedic surgery to repair a bone, joint, ligaments, tendons, nerves, or muscles, and you're not looking forward to being an inpatient at a hospital, there is an alternative. The Everett Bone and Joint Ambulatory Surgery Center. Patients who elect to have their surgery there can arrive the day of the procedure, have their surgery in a fully equipped operating room, recover in the care of specially trained nurses, and return home the same day. You get the care you need more quickly, more on your schedule, and in one location. The Everett Bone and Joint Ambulatory Care Surgeons are board certified in orthopedics. Your assurance that you're being cared for by the very best. They also offer MRIs and x-rays in the same convenient location. See why the Everett Silvertips trust their players to the surgeons at Everett Bone and Joint. They're on Pacific Avenue, just west of Marine View Drive in Everett. Find out more online at everettboneandjoint.com.
You're listening to Health Matters on Fox Sports 1380, presented by Integrated Rehabilitation Group. And now back to more of Health Matters with Maury Eskenazi and Shannon O'Kelly.
Welcome back to Health Matters. I'm Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly. That kind of brings it all into
perspective.
In perspective, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And once again, if you're listening to this and all you get out of this is that you make plans next time you go out to a bar or to a party that you're going to get home and you're not going to get in the car with somebody that's been drinking and you're not going to get in the car after you've been drinking, then we've done our job, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what Kerry said, Maury, just a few minutes ago on the break there, that really when an officer pulls someone over and does some tests for DUI, we make an arrest. We make a good faith arrest. We really don't care if they blow under or over the legal limit or if their TH level is over or under. In our best judgment, they shouldn't have been driving, so we got them off the road, and they're going to be home safe that night. Now, they always blame us for ruining their life, and it's our fault, and that's fine. That's part of the job that we can deal with.
You know what? There's other things that people can blame cops for ruining their lives about.
And there is.
Yeah,
a lot of
there
times.
Is. There's a lot of other things these days.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some things that you run into when you're drinking. Let's say I've been drinking at a bar, and I'm going to be driving home in a half an hour. I'm going to start slamming the coffee. Does that help?
Really, that just makes them a more awake drunk. Yeah, nothing causes alcohol to leave the body other than time. It has to metabolize to the liver. People think, well, I stopped drinking and then I drink water for the last hour because that's going to help. It doesn't help anything. It all it is time. It has to get in the liver, be metabolized and expelled, and that's the only thing that works. It just makes them more awake if they drink a lot
that's
of coffee.
The old movies. That's how the old movies were. They used to gotta sober them up, you know,
pour,
give them coffee.
Pour coffee.
Yeah, put them in the cold shower.
Now, people can drink more and not feel the impairment as quickly if they eat. And that's why bars will give you free peanuts and pretzels, because they know if there's food in your stomach, then the alcohol stays in your stomach because the food has to digest, so the opening of the small intestine isn't open. So, because only 20% of alcohol absorbs from your stomach lining into your bloodstream, 80% from your small intestine to your bloodstream. So if they can put food in your stomach, you can drink more and not feel the impairment, so you'll keep drinking.
What about somebody that
that goes to a bar and drinks, I don't want to say alcoholics, but maybe that's what I'm saying. Somebody that drinks like four or five drinks after work every single night, do they, can they drive? I shouldn't even say
something more.
No, not at all. No, what I'm saying, I mean, are they, do they act, it doesn't hit them like somebody who doesn't drink? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they'll certainly, like any drug, they'll build a tolerance to
right.
it, to where they need more to fill the buzz or whatever they want to fill. So they'll have a tolerance to it, but it won't affect their breathalyzer.
Yeah,
so,
they can't control their breath, their BAC, no, basically, no. Or immuno.
But they're tolerant, they're alcoholics. Now, if someone can blow as high as a point 2.0 or a 2.4, then probably they're drinking every day, and they always have alcohol in their system. So they might do the walk and turn test pretty well, or the one leg stand test pretty well, because they're doing fine. They're no more normal when they have alcohol in their system. What they can't control is they can't control the HGN, the horizontal gaze nystagmus test. That's going to show the same symptoms no matter if they're tolerant to alcohol or not. And then the breath test is going to show the results. It's going to show no matter how tolerant they are. That's not going to be affected by tolerance.
And we talked about this last year, I think, a little bit, but grabbing a bike and riding a bike home, if you're intoxicated, are you still on a mobile vehicle, basically? What's the deal there?
Can you? No, it's got to be. It has to be a motorized vehicle.
Motorized vehicle.
Yeah. So there's boating. Boating. You could be. You know. Boating.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Boating is huge.
Wow. What happens during seafare?
Wow.
Yeah. There's special patrols out on the police on boats for that. And a lot of people get arrested on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, who gets arrested? The person driving the boat or everybody on the boat?
Yeah, the person behind the wheel, unfortunately.
Wow.
So it's got to be a motorized vehicle.
It could be a motorized vehicle.
And, I would be afraid. Who the hell would get on a motorcycle drunk and drive it?
I bet Officer Mark Brinkman can tell you how many people do that.
Sometimes they're dead when we find them.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that'd be hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a high rate of that going on?
Huh. So just last night in Bellingham, Tom was saying there was a DUI.
In Emerson, yeah. There was a fatality accident. Motorcycle driving late at night. Had been drinking. Plowed into a truck that did a left-hand turn right in front of him.
Well, but the symptoms are harder to see if someone's on a motorcycle, because you have a lot of roadway and still stay in your lane if you're on a motorcycle. So it's things like, are they weaving back and forth a lot in their lane? Or do they come to a stoplight, stop sign, and able to maintain stability while they're sitting there on the motorcycle? Or is the motorcycle going back and forth? And then in high risk, we talked about that. You put alcohol in your system, you're 13 times more likely to engage in high risk activities that are going faster than they normally would on the motorcycle, things like that. But yeah, it's a dangerous thing to get on a two-wheel. I mean, anything on wheels, but especially a two-wheeled motorized vehicle when you've been drinking or doing drugs. And there's nothing, we talked a little bit about, people come in and they want to do the, try to pull some tricks. The wives tell, put a penny in your mouth when you take the breath test. Is that going to affect the breath?
Where would you find pennies these days?
Ashtray.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I'll look on the way home.
Yeah. So there's that one around. It won't affect the breath. We check people's mouths before the breath test anyway.
Where'd that come from? I don't know if I've ever heard that.
I've never been that drunk to put a penny in my mouth.
It was supposed to be copper. Something copper would affect the breath test, was the wives' tale, but that it doesn't actually affect it.
Stupid
we
wives.
We check their mouths. Or if they, if they drink a bunch of mouthwash, right, when we walk up to the car, will that affect? I mean, that could affect the test. Now, with a false reading, it'll say that there's an interfering substance, so we have to wait a while and then take. But ultimately, it's just going to add more alcohol to the system. Probably still have a higher breathalyzer.
Yeah.
You know, right? It's fine, Officer. I drink cough syrup. That's why. That's, you still can't drive under the influence of cough syrup if it's alcohol. So, all those things will not get you out of court.
What else have you heard? What about the guy or the person that's trying to light the wrong end of the cigarette? That's usually a giveaway?
That's a giveaway usually, yeah.
You can smell that. I used to do that many times.
Yeah. People will roll their back when they're down to their front one or just
oh, come on, I do that all the time. I'm just old.
You're not used to the buttons yet.
That's totally. Yeah, yeah.
Or say, I've had, and it used to be the common answer how much you had to drink is two drinks. Now it's nothing. People have been drinking, their common answer now is I've not drank anything. And you kind of have to develop a case from there if you can't really smell it or things like that. So, yeah, people are kind of two things are happening. One, people are getting more educated about they should drive with a designated driver,
which is good. That's what we want.
But the other hand, people were educated from the defense level. I don't know how they're being trained by this, but your answer should be, no, I've not been drinking anything, officer. So there's kind of two things we're seeing happen. There are education from both ends, some wrong and some good. Mm-hmm. But
are these guys getting off? You know, we were talking, Adam, about the guys that are paying a lot of money for these TV attorneys. Are they getting off?
Absolutely not, because okay. we've got some damn smart prosecutors right. in our district court unit, and they know just as much, if not more, than the high-priced defense attorneys. And we're playing fair, and we're making sure that people charged with these crimes are getting a fair process and getting a fair trial. But my prosecutors are damn good, and we're not scared of anybody.
So there you go. So there's another reason right there.
Yeah, that's a pretty good reason.
There's no way around this.
And Adam's right. Most defense attorneys, I would say majority of them, they don't know much at all about the DUI process, the DUI laws, but they charge their clients a lot to act like they do. And I actually welcome defense attorneys in court so I can educate them in court, and they end up looking pretty stupid by the time they walk out of there and the client's found guilty. So mostly it's just a money-making scheme, and they know their client's probably going to get found guilty in the long run anyway.
And Adam mentioned earlier about the cost of, you know, hiring a DUI attorney. And for people who are listening thinking, oh, that's not going to be me, I wouldn't have to, you know, put out $20,000 to defend a case, it's really a societal cost. I mean, drunk driving costs this country $199 billion a year. I mean, that's $800 an adult.
Wow.
That's pretty staggering.
Yeah, that is pretty staggering.
That stat right there, $199 billion. Wow.
Remember, yeah, $109 billion.
Remember a few years ago we had, and I wish I would have done this, but we had the what they do to you in different countries. Remember that? We went through that at DUIs. Like,
we did, yeah. I was talking about it a few years ago. We do a lot of blood draw testing now,
right,
obviously, for drugs. And I should touch on that just briefly. Now, if you get arrested for DUI and refuse the breathalyzer test, we'll still get a warrant for your blood and get your blood. So now you'll get suspended for a year for refusing the breath test. Plus, we'll get your blood on a warrant. Now we have the results of what your blood alcohol level is anyway. So we go to court and prosecute you on that. But, yeah, there was a gentleman that we used to draw blood at Providence Hospital. He's from Ukraine. He's actually a Ukrainian doctor, but wasn't quite qualified to be a doctor. So he was a phlebotomist here. And after about my 10th time there, he said, you know, I'm just amazed what you folks go through. You come in and take their blood, and you're polite to them and do all this paperwork. He goes, in Ukraine, it was very embarrassing to get a DUI, first of all. Very embarrassing for your family, very costly. You probably lose your job. You don't want anyone to know about it. So you have two choices. You can be a crash test dummy in cars at 45 miles an hour, or you can be a dummy for the military to practice their defense moves on.
Oh.
And if you survive either of those or one of them, then you're fine. There's no DUI charge. But in some other countries, it's a firing squad, and you're just killed when you're
arrested. I remember that. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Now, Washington State does, I think, you know, we're making headway. Like I said, if you're fifth DUI in 10 years, it's a felony. Other states, I think it's Oregon, your third one, it's a felony. I'd rather see that. We're making some headway. We have there's the mandatory impound law. We were talking about that a little bit, called Haley's Law. In that instance, a gentleman was arrested for DUI. Ultimately, after processing, got home and then got in his other car, or got in the same car, and drove off and killed a girl named Haley in that accident. So out of that came Haley's Law. So if you're arrested for DUI, the car you're driving, whether it's your car or not, is going to be mandatorily impounded. If it's your car, it'll be mandatorily impounded for 12 hours minimum. If there's another registered owner on the registration, they can come pick the car up inside the 12 hours as long as they're sober. But so there's some things like that in place now that do help.
And you pay for the impounding, obviously.
That's correct, the impound fees. So
that's all part of the tab.
Part of more, yeah, the tab. That's right, the tab that's at 15 or 20.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I hate to interrupt you. We're kind of getting low on time. But what I wanted to do, I wanted to go around the table and talk about what you think is missing as far as the laws go here. What would make our DUIs, get rid of them quicker? Anybody have any ideas? As far as missing laws.
Hi, this is Tracy, volunteer with the task force.
Everybody knows.
Yes, and I would say the checkpoints, DUI checkpoints. It's a proven best practice and a good strategy to reduce impaired driving. Unfortunately, it hasn't been able to pass in law here in Washington State. The other is to get down to 0.00 BAC instead of the 0.08 that it, you know, we see the road signs. It gives a mixed message. It should be zero tolerance.
Right. Anybody want to add to that?
Yeah, Tracy, I echo what you said, and, you know, the stats are there. You know, research shows that there's a 20% drop in drunk driving deaths and injuries in crashes when checkpoints are conducted. So they work.
Random checkpoints?
Yep.
Yeah, the problems we have with checkpoints, I mean, the checkpoints are very effective, but the legality of Washington State prevents us from having checkpoints. Washington State has the most defense attorneys per capita than any state in the union. And so it's tough to get laws through. There's lobbies. There's a socioeconomic picture to all this, of course, with liquor sales and liquor stores, or now people that sell liquor lobbying for these things or against them. So there's a lot of things we're against in Washington State.
Well, I think one thing that the legislature can do is they can better fund Washington State Patrol. They can better fund local law enforcement officers so we can get more cops out on the street.
Right.
I think that you know, we like trying to eliminate racism, trying to eliminate homelessness, trying to eliminate poverty. We're never going to eliminate DUIs. As much as we want that, there are always going to be people who drive drunk. And I think we need to have more resources for prosecutors and cops so that we can enforce this. And I think, like Officer Brinkman said, you know, the biggest deterrent is somebody getting arrested or getting stopped for DUI.
Right.
So that means we need more cops.
Right.
I also think since we can't do checkpoints here, it's really interesting. In panels, sometimes we ask people what they think about the law. Is it too harsh? Is it not harsh enough? And it's really often that people before the panel will say that it's too harsh, and then after they'll say that it's not harsh enough. But, of course, they wouldn't be happy if it was more harsh. I think it would be wonderful to have a mandatory at least year of losing your license if you are actually convicted of a DUI. I think that anything less than that just tells people, well, you can probably get away with it, or it might cost you some money, but you're still going to get in your car and drive. And, you know, people may not be so quick to take that risk.
You know, one of the things I would like to at least point out is I think we've come a long way as a society. I mean, if you go back, you know, 20 years, 25, 30 years ago, I mean, if an officer pulled you over and you were intoxicated, he or she would follow you home or let you drive home or something like that. And now, I mean, there's not a lot of tolerance, which there shouldn't be. But, I mean, statistically speaking, the last 10 years, I'm sure it's gone down in the state of Washington. I mean,
since 1980, the deaths have been cut in half.
Let's do this, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's important. That's important you say that. Cause
since MAD was formed in 1980, the number of drunk driving or impaired driving fatalities has been cut in half. So, I mean, there has been huge headway. It's not as socially acceptable as it used to be.
Right.
And we have made
huge gains.
Yes.
Right. I think a lot has been done, but we still have obviously a long way to go. Right.
Talk about, Arthur, off air, you were talking about new vehicles that are going to be coming out.
Yeah, so there's some really amazing technology that's in development right now. There's a couple of really neat technologies that are being tested. One uses infrared technology to determine the driver's blood alcohol concentration through a touch-based approach. So basically, they're going to put sensors in a steering wheel, and if it senses alcohol, the car won't start. There's another technology that's being developed that uses infrared technology to measure the driver's BAC by analyzing the ambient breath in the car. So same thing. If the car senses alcohol in the ambient air, it won't start. So I think we're still several years away from seeing that as standard equipment, but it's getting developed. People are working on it.
I think it's a lot easier just to get a designated driver.
Right.
You know, or
because after that, then RoboCop will come over and crush your car.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. When that happens.
Soylent Green. They leave you on the street at night, you just get picked up.
Soylent Green?
Yeah, you remember that?
All right, we combined two.
Yeah, exactly.
Classic.
After those cars come into play, old used car sales will skyrocket.
Yeah, totally.
Hold on, Rick.
It's like everything. There's always a way around it, but the technology is getting there. We're getting
right.
Close.
And I think, obviously, and you know, safer cars have cut down, obviously, on people getting hurt in car crashes, too. But I think Tracy's right. in order to do this. Socially, it's been it's more acceptable to drive while you're intoxicated. People will do more to stop someone than they used to, and they know if they get pulled over, it's going to be zero tolerance. It's not like you're going to get a ride home. Like I remember when I first started 28 years ago, people were amazed I was actually taking them to jail for DUI.
Yeah,
because you know, Trooper Smith would just drive me home. Why are you arresting me? And but the problem, the new problem we face now is that it is socially acceptable to smoke marijuana, and so we talked about it, some of you. But you can't drive a car. You cannot drive a car safely and smoke while after you smoke marijuana.
You know, can I just add, when you said it's socially accepted to smoke marijuana, I wanted somebody to come on our show and smoke marijuana. We could test them. I couldn't get anybody, even though it's socially accepted to smoke marijuana, nobody would come on. Either they were too young where their mom wouldn't let them, or they were too old where they didn't want anybody to know that they were smoking marijuana. So, I mean, it's socially accepted, but nobody's admitting to it. I mean,
yeah, to some degree.
Maybe my parents would have, but they, you know.
If you went to Seattle, you'd have found 100 people.
Yeah, probably, huh? Yeah. I thought here in Everett, it would be an easy thing.
Yeah, well, obviously, we wouldn't want someone under 21 to come in here high. But, to have someone come on the show. And the problem is with marijuana, we talked about it a little bit, but we'll kind of hit on it again as we close it. You can't drive safe while you're on it, but you're no judge if you're okay to drive after you smoke marijuana. Like 90% of people that smoke marijuana that we've surveyed say after they smoke marijuana, they're fine to drive. In fact, they could probably drive better. So obviously, they're no judge if they should be driving.
I think something important to add is a lot of the product that the marijuana retailers are selling out there are edibles.
Right.
And, oh, yeah.
The board requires them to put the number of servings that each brownie, for instance, does, because maybe somebody that's new to marijuana might eat a whole brownie when it's actually four servings.
Right.
And this is an adult. And it takes about an hour for it to kick in.
That's
and so you're in your car, you're driving, and all of a sudden you're seeing hallucinations and whatnot. So
we're
good point.
We're out of time.
Oh, already?
We
got to wait one more year to do this?
Yes, we do. Okay. We gave you all kinds of information. We told you how much it's going to cost if you get pulled over. So please, starting this year and continuing all year long, don't drink and drive. We want to thank Tracy McMillan. We want to talk and thanks Mark Brinkman, Adam Cornell, Arthur Laritz, Marcy Jones, and the First Choice DUI Victims Panel. We want to thank Tom Dixon for coming here with us today, Adam Lowy, Gio Newland, Tom Lafferty, Carrie Hartwell Luchuk. Thanks so much. Mike and Brenda. And as always, we dedicate the show in the memories of Jim Watson, Sheena Blair, Don Bruce's daughter, Zach Hartwell, and Braden Jones. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Maury Eskenazi.
I'm Shannon O'Kelly. Stay fit and stay sober.
I know I would feel it, but it's in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing. Hot night wind was blowing. Where you think you're going, baby?